I'm Kevin McCrory, and this is Jukebox Journey.
If anybody wants to go to the mother?
This week, live from Philly's glorious bygone music venues, part one. In the early 1900s, Philadelphia was awash in venues, from high-class opera halls to vaudeville and burlesque stages. The Earl Theater at 11th and Market was built in 1924 and considered the creme de la creme for acts including Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Jimmy Lunsford, as in this 1939 live recording. The Earl was demolished in 1953. On the site today, a CVS pharmacy. That's the way it's been for many of the region's most cherished venues. Here today, gone tomorrow. The 1950s and 60s saw a boom in jazz and soul clubs. Pep's Musical Bar at Broad and South was considered an it club of the time, with shows by Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin, and Yusef Lateef, who titled his 1964 album Live at Pep's. A block over on Lombard Street was the Showboat. Billie Holiday often lived at the hotel above the club, which lives on in John Coltrane bootlegs from the early 60s. The room later became the Bijou.
You can clap your hands, y'all, on Saturday night.
Where Grover Washington Jr. recorded this 1972 record. Head north on Broad, the Uptown Theater became a cornerstone of the black community for decades, as did the Cadillac Club, for which North Philly's Billy Paul titled his first record. The late 60s and early 70s saw a major upswing in folk and rock venues. There were the small clubs, like the Second Fret in Rittenhouse Square, where a 23-year-old Joni Mitchell recorded in March of 1967.
Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained.
The Main Point in Bryn Mawr was a coffee shop venue that became a favorite for the likes of Bonnie Raitt and Janice Ian. Bruce Springsteen did a benefit show there in 1975 that was broadcast live on WMMR.
Ed Shockey, are we really on the radio tonight? Ed Shockey tells me all these lies all the time. I never know when I'm leaving.
It included the debut of a song then called Wings for Wheels.
This 404, she's gonna overheat. Make up your mind, girl, I gotta get her back out on the street. I know you're lonely like me, so baby, don't try and fake it.
After some revisions, Springsteen renamed it Thunder Road. In Cherry Hill, one of the most dynamic venues of the 60s and 70s was the Latin Casino, with an all-star roster of lounge acts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Latin Casino proudly presents the stars of our show, the Mighty, Mighty Spinners,
who cut a live album there in 1974. The space later became a disco and rock club called Emerald City, and hosted The Cure, for its first American show in 1980. The site on Route 70 went on to become the corporate headquarters for Subaru of America, before being demolished and left vacant. Last but not least, for part one of our series on bygone Philly venues, JFK Stadium, known best for the massive Live Aid concert in 1985.
All right, people of the world!
But also the final concert in the space by the Grateful Dead, attended by 55,000 people in July of 1989, 6 days before the venue was condemned by the city as a structurally unsafe potential fire hazard. The Dead closed it down with an apt Bob Dylan cover.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
I'm Kevin McCrory, and this has been a Jukebox Journey on WHYY.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
And special shout out this week to the Philadelphia Music Book. It's a new encyclopedia edited by Larry Magid that was a tremendous resource for this edition of Jukebox Journey and will continue to be in the future, including part two of our look at bygone Philly music venues, ones that closed after 1990.
Bye-bye.